just for leads us here. I'm happy to have you guys here today, and I'm happy to be here today too. And as John said, we have special guests with us, and it's always a pleasure when Rick and Angie come to town. It's always cool to hear what God's doing in the ministry that these, and we've known these guys for a long time. I don't even know how many years, but it's been many, right? And each time we get together, it always amazes me to see how God takes small things, right? When God takes these little seeds, the money that we're able to give and other people are able to give and what he can do with that. And so that's always encouraging to me. And I just thought it'd be really appropriate, especially during this season of gratefulness and Thanksgiving, to have them come and maybe share a little bit about that. So if you guys would please welcome Rick and Angie Johnson.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, that's, like he said, we've known y'all for a while now, so and it's good. We like coming to DC Church, like coming up here. We liked it so much we moved from Oklahoma to Missouri. So this is my wife, Angie. For those of you who don't know, we were missionaries to Myanmar. She got a few things that she wants to hand out, giveaways. We got two caps and two T-shirts and a CD. So we'll do them one at a time. So anybody that would like a CD of a friend of ours, she sings in English, but she's from Thailand. It's a contemporary Christian CD. If you're a musician, you might like it. If you're not, you might enjoy it. Would anybody like that? Raise your hand. Nobody wants. Hey, I saw Marilyn over here. She got the. Okay. T-shirts? Anybody want a T-shirt? All you got to do is raise your hand. Hey, there's somebody back here in the back. I did see somebody way back in the back, Ange. Okay. We got. I'm not doing this. She's doing it. You get mad at her. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. So it's all good. Are you passing everything out? Yeah. You just handing it out as you come back. There's a lady up here on the front says she didn't get a cap. She was going to get me before I got out the door.
Where's that?
Right here. She says you better get walk out of here with something. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, it's really good to be here with y'all today. As Pastor said, we are missionaries to Myanmar, and we don't often get to do this very often, but you know, we've been asked to speak on gratitude and to kind of dovetail in with your series you've got going on now with your 21 days of Thanksgiving. Pastor Bill asked me if I'd say some things about it, and then he stole my stuff I was going to use for this Sunday from last Sunday. So the 10 lepers, there's nothing better than the gratitude on that. So we're going to move on. We're going to move on with it. But anyway, I just have a few thoughts on this thing. And before I get started, could we just pray real quick? Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the gratitude that we have to you. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to speak to your people. Father, we just pray now that the words are sweet. They have ears to hear, hearts to understand, Lord, and that we move on and advance your kingdom in this. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, the thought for today is, what if you woke up today with only what you gave thanks for yesterday? You know, that's kind of a provoking thought. You know, am I really that thankful? Am I really that grateful of a person? And, you know, gratitude I would say it's a dying commodity, but I remember that when I used to go to the store and a clerk, if you gave them your money or you bought something from them, they would tell you thank you. I remember when you used to go into the store, any store, or fast food place, whatever, and you gave them your money and you took your food, they would tell you thank you. To me, that's an act of gratitude because I could actually take and go anywhere to buy what I want. I didn't have to come here. And I think sometimes in this day and age, we kind of get away from that. I don't know why, but it just seems like we get away from those things. And you can say it's manners, it's just being polite, but it really comes from the heart as an act of gratitude. And I think it's the bigger picture. Do we really understand that there's forces beyond us that are helping us and motivating us to do these things. And I think it really comes out of the heart. And what kind of heart do we have, and what kind of person do we want to be? But I noticed that in stores. I noticed that in a lot of areas with people. There's a guy named Zig Ziglar. He said it this way. He said, gratitude is the healthiest of all human emotions. The more you express gratitude for what you have, the more likely you will have even more to express gratitude for. Most of y'all know that I worked a career job. I was in the aviation industry for 30-something years. I don't want to go too far and let you know how old I am, but but a long time. And I can tell you that every day I cannot think of a week. Let me not get evangelistic. Let me just get it honed down. I can't think of a week that went by that I didn't run into somebody that I worked with or heard somebody say, I hate this place. I hate my job. I hate being here. I don't like this. I don't like that. And you're talking about people that are making a good wage. They got great benefits. They got medical insurance. You know, they don't have to, it cost them very little. They got flight privileges. They can fly a lot of places, you know. They have all these things, but yet they come to work, and that's what comes out of their mouth. I hate this place. My question was always, why are you here? Nobody held a gun to your head today and told you you had to go out to American Airlines to go to work and work here. I mean, there's a lot of places you could take your talent and all your and go work for somebody else, but yet you chose to come here and be miserable and be ungrateful. And I never have understood that, other than the fact that maybe they just wake up like that every day. That's really how they feel. And it got to the point, I got to hearing this, that, you know, you got to have equal opportunity, right, and stuff. So I worked with a lot of guys, a lot of blue-collar, rough-end guys, and they'd say that, and I'd say, I love my job. And it would make them mad. And the more I said it, I'd say it every time, every morning I'd hear somebody say that, I'd go, I love my job. And they'd just get mad. Angie worked out there. She'd hear them say it. It'd make them furious because I'd say that. And, well, you're just a suck up, or you just want to, you're just management. And I'm like, no, man, I'm just glad to be here. I realize where I'm at and what I have. You know, two ways to look at stuff, man. I like what Albert Einstein said. He said, there are only two ways to live your life. One as though nothing is a miracle, and the other as everything is a miracle. And that's pretty much true. I mean, you know, everything you look at, and that's a smart guy said that, you know. Another guy, he said it like this. He said, enjoy the little things, for one day you may look back and realize that they were the big things. You know, and I think you have to really look at that. Scripture tells us, despise not small beginnings. Appreciate where you're at, because you won't always be there. You know, the things that are going on. I think back some things with our ministry and how things have happened and progressed, and they haven't always went like we thought we should, or they progressed, and it just hasn't happened like that. But yet, I wake up and I'm like, I'm just thankful, Lord, you let me to do this. You know, it's not I have to do this. I get to do this. And I think that's the attitude that the Father can work with. I think when you have a heart like that, he gives him something to work with. And then he said, somebody else said, here you go. Oprah Winfrey says this, be thankful for what you have. You'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you'll never have enough. And that's pretty much true. The glass is either half full or it's half empty. Some people don't even see a glass. You know, I mean, just be kind of get down where the rubber meets the road. You know, I'm grateful. I'm grateful the Chiefs aren't playing today. You know, more people come to church, right? Just let me throw that in. So another guy said, he said, none is more impoverished than the one who has no gratitude. Gratitude is a currency that we can mint for ourselves and spend without fear of bankruptcy. And that probably says it all right there. I mean, you can be, if you're grateful, if you tell people thank you and you're grateful for what you have and what you've done, God can use that. He can use you. He wants to help you with more when you're grateful. When you have that ungratitude, I mean, I used to listen to these guys. Like I said, I keep going back to that. I listened to that so many years I heard that. You know, it's so to the point that when I left the company, the people that I worked with, I didn't miss the people that I liked. I was so grateful that I didn't have to be around those people anymore. That's weird. But I was grateful. I don't have to hear that anymore. And so when I hear, now that I've been removed from that for a few years, and then you start hearing people talk like that, or you hear something like that, it's kind of strange now because, I mean, like, you realize you have choices in life. And choices make us or break us. But a guy, one of the leading experts, and I didn't realize there were experts on gratitude, but there are. And Robert Emmons, he wrote this thesis, and he said, perhaps the world's, they say he's the leading scientific expert on gratitude, argues that gratitude has two key components. Number one, he writes, it's an affirmation of goodness. We affirm that there are good things in the world, gifts and benefits we've received. Then he says, in the second part of gratitude, we recognize that the sources of this goodness are outside of ourselves. We acknowledge that other people, or even a higher power, gave us many gifts, big and small, to help us achieve the goodness in our lives. Is that not true? Does not everything come from the Father? I mean, the more and the longer I do ministry, the more that we do in Myanmar, the more I realize that it's not me doing it. It's somebody, it's an outside force working through me. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they are working through us to make these things accomplished. Emmons, also a researcher, said the social dimensions of being especially important to gratitude. He said, I see it as a relationship strengthening emotion because it requires us to see how we've been supported and affirmed by other people. Do you not like to be told thank you when you do something? When you do a good job on something, do you not like to be told you did a good job? Everybody wants to be told they did a good job. Now, not everybody needs it. Not everybody desires it and craves it. But everybody, if they're honest, likes to be told they did a good job. I like to be told I did a good job. In fact, that's what motivates me. You tell me I'm doing good. Man, I'm going to ask Angie. If she tells me I'm doing good and I keep on, I'll do more. I'll do even more. Keep on doing more. So she knows how to work me. And it does. It really does work. But because gratitude encourages not only to appreciate gifts, but to repay them, to pay them forward. One guy said it's the moral memory of mankind. So we always want to remember where we've come from, what has happened, people that have helped us along the way. So I think Jesus might have summed it up best in this scripture, though. He talks about it over in Luke in chapter 7, verse 40. He said, Jesus said, answering, and I'm going to read some of this, okay? He said, and Jesus answering said to him, Simon, he said, I have something to say to you. And he said, teacher, say on. Two people owed money to a creditor. One was owed $500 and the other was owed $50. They couldn't pay it back. The creditor forgave both of their debts. Which of them would you say would be more grateful? And Simon answered him and said, I suppose whom he forgave the most. And Jesus told him, he said, that is exactly correct. Where much is forgiven, much is love is there. He said, and having turned, and he did this in the context of a story, something that was physically happening to him. He said, I have come, he said, he come into Simon's house, and he said, this woman, there was a woman in the house, and he said, you see this woman, ever since I come into this house, she put water on, for she washed my feet, and you did not give, he said, you didn't do this. As a host, you should have done this. And he said, this woman with her tears did wet my feet, and with her hair she did dry them off. And she's kissing my feet with oil on my head. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman anointed my feet. And she said, because she loved much. And he said, therefore I say to you, her many sins have been forgiven because she did love much. But to whom little is forgiven, little do they love. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And those sitting in the sitting with him eating began to say among themselves, "Who is this that can forgive sins?" And he said to this woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Gratitude can forgive sin. When we realize who we are and where we're at in life and what we really need from a Savior, this woman's gratitude saved her at that point. She was so grateful to him. The guy that owned the house was probably a well-off man. She come into the house. He didn't follow the protocols, the proper things. He didn't greet him properly. He didn't do the things he was supposed to do, you know. So therefore, Jesus said, whoever's forgiven the most is going to be the most grateful, you know. And that's exactly how I feel. That's when things haven't went my way or things have happened, I'm more grateful. I am so grateful. If somebody forgave my debt that I couldn't pay, I would be hugely grateful. So that's what's going on here. Then he said, then they say, why would you practice gratitude? So some people, you know, they have to be reminded of these things. They say, oh, why would we practice it? He said, over the past 15 years, hundreds of studies have documented social, physical, and psychological benefits of gratitude. The research suggests that the benefits are available to most anyone who practices gratitude, even in the midst of adversity, elderly people confronting death, women with breast cancer, and people coping with chronic muscular disease. Here are some of the top research-based reasons for practicing gratitude. If you didn't have enough, here are some. They say, because of this research, that gratitude brings us happiness. Practicing gratitude has proven to be one of the most reliable methods of increasing happiness and life satisfaction. It also boosts feelings of optimism, joy, pleasure, and enthusiasm. That's a good reason to be grateful. On the other side of gratitude, it also reduces anxiety and depression. Gratitude is good for our bodies. Studies show that gratitude strengthens the immune system, lowers blood sugar, reduces symptoms of illness, and makes us less bothered by aches and pains. That's a good reason to be grateful. Grateful people sleep better. They even get more hours of sleep each night, spend less time awake before falling asleep, and feel more refreshed upon wakening. If you want to sleep more soundly, count your blessings and not sheep. Gratitude makes us more resilient. It also is found to help people who are recovering from traumatic events, including PTSD, victims of natural disasters, and people living under violent political conflict. I have seen that this happen, and people that you go into an area where they've lost everything, or they have no hope, and you do things for them, and they are so grateful. And it's humbling. It's extremely humbling to watch that, to watch people do that, because, you know, you're just really acting on what the Lord's put in your heart to move you into that direction that he wants you to be. So it's extremely important to be that way. Gratitude strengthens relationships. It makes you more closer and committed to friends and family. You know, if I don't tell Angie I'll thank you and stuff like that, she's liable not to do some things for me. So, I mean, I have to be really, really grateful to her for what she does for me. You know, I was telling Pastor Bill, I said, now Angie went and got a job down in Branson, so she's doing some stuff there. And so, you know, now if I don't tell her she's doing a good job and I appreciate you working and all that, you know, then she's not going to go, might quit that job. So, gratitude promotes forgiveness. Grateful people are more helpful, altruistic, and compassionate. Gratitude is good for kids. Children as young as 6 or 7 are more generous when they're feeling grateful, and grateful adolescents tend to be more resilient. When your 10 to 19-year-olds practice gratitude, they report greater life satisfaction and more positive emotion and more connected to their community. Gratitude is good for schools. It makes students feel better about their school. It also makes teachers feel more satisfied and accomplished about and be less emotionally exhausted, possibly reducing teacher burnout. So, all good reasons to practice gratitude. One of the things I like too, they said about people that if you're not that, if you tend not to be that way, if you tend not to be a real grateful person, but you're just one of these people that, you know, you're kind of borderline and you're not really the first one to thank people or first one to say something. They said, one of the things, if you're like that, do that It's a Wonderful Life test. If you weren't involved in this, or you wasn't around, or you wasn't part of the equation, how would things be? Would that be a problem, or would that be a solution? How would things look if you were not involved in that at all? So I think when you look at things like that, people tend to be more grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here today. I'm grateful for a lot of things. I mean, I'm grateful that we live in a country, even at this time when it seems to be very divided, but yet we still have order, that we still have a Prince of Peace that we can rely on, that we can come to, that we can pray, that He still hears our prayers and changes things in our lives. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for those opportunities. There's another story that I think that I really want to drive on this, is that I really think shows the attitude of gratitude that I think that we really want to see in our daily life. I think it demonstrates us both, but I'm just going to read this, okay? So if you want to read along with me, it's in Matthew. We're going to start with chapter 8, and it's going to be verse 28. It said, and they sailed down to the, and just to let you know, I've kind of edited this where it reads a little simpler. Okay. So, and they sailed down to the region of the Gadarenes near Galilee. And he and Jesus, having gone forth upon the land, there he met a certain man from the city who was demon possessed for a long time. And he was naked and did not live in a house, but lived in a graveyard. And seeing Jesus, the demons in him began screaming at him, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" And he commanded the unclean spirit to come forth from the man. For many times this man had been caught, and he would be bound with chains and shackles, guarded, and would break apart the bonds. He was driven by these demons to the desert. And Jesus questioned him, saying, "What is your name?" And he answered, "Legion, because we are many demons." And he was calling on him that they may not command them to go away to the abyss. So they didn't want to leave, but he was talking to them. And there was a herd of swine feeding in the mountain, and they were calling on him, and they might allow him to enter. They wanted to enter to the pigs. And the demons, having gone out of the man, did enter to the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep hill and were drowned in the lake. Okay. Those feeding them, those taking care of these pigs, having seen what happened, fled. They went into the town. They went out into the countryside, and they told everybody what happened. And this is where it gets interesting. So they came forth, and they see what had come to pass, and they came to Jesus. And they saw this man who had been demon-possessed for many years, had always been naked, had to bind him with chains. They said he was sitting with Jesus at his feet. He was clothed, and he was in his right mind. And the people says they were afraid. So I'm like, why? Why would you be afraid? You know, they were afraid. And those also having seen told them how the demoniac was saved, how this guy had this demon cast out of him and had been saved. And while he did that, the whole multitude of the region of this area asked Jesus to go away. Here he's done a great thing, and they ask him to go away. You know, they've helped this guy. He's helped this guy, and the people don't want that. They'd rather have this guy running around like a madman, demon-possessed, scaring people, can't help himself. They'd rather have that than have him in his right mind, and Jesus did this, and people rejected that. You know, people are not much different today. They're really not. Anyhow, when he went and he asked them to go away, and because they had great fear, they were pressed, and he left in a boat and did not turn back. But the man from whom the demons had gone forth, the man who had been possessed. You know, he told Jesus, he said, I want to go with you. And I was thinking about this. How do you say that? This guy had been, you know, demon possession. I've seen it. Demon possession is a spiritual condition. That's a spiritual thing. Jesus, the ultimate in spiritual beings. Game recognized game. You know what I'm saying? He recognized. He said, man, you have set me free. I want to go with you. I want to be with you. I want to do what you want me to do. I will go anywhere. Your people will be my people, and I will be with you. He begged him. He begged Jesus to go with him. He wanted to be with him because he, for the first time in years, he's in his right mind. He's clothed. He's doing his own thing again. He feels good. But yet, Jesus told him, no, you can't go with me. You go back to your village. You go back to your town. You go back to where you come from. You go back to those people. And you tell them the good things that I've done for you today. Because, you know, the word says the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony overcome. Nobody can deny your testimony because it's yours, it's personal, it's you, and it's what you've done. It's what God has done for you. No matter how bad you were, how crazy things were, when you come out of that and you give God the credit and the glory for that, nobody can take that away from you. They can point fingers. They can tell you you're crazy. They can tell you, hey, that's, I remember them back when they were, you know, you always got those. But they can't deny what they see now. They cannot deceive. There's a guy now, what's his name? Kanye West. I mean, you know, people are talking about him. You know, well, praise God. You know, he's going to turn some people to Jesus. Hallelujah. But you know, the thing is, when you are truly forgiven, when you truly come up out of that, you want to be with Jesus. You want to be a part of that. That's why we're here today, because we want to be part of that. We want to be in that. We're grateful. This man was grateful. He was extremely grateful for what Jesus had done for him. It's so to the much, he was going to forget everything he did. Now here, let me tell you, this man was set free. He begged to come. But let me tell y'all, let's bring it home. Let's bring this home. What did Jesus tell us when we were saved? What's the last thing he said to the people? Go into all the world and tell everybody who I am. Preach the gospel. Tell them the good news. Make me famous. Tell people who I am. You should have known. You shouldn't bring a missionary here and not talk about salvation. You know, you ought not know. You ought not know. You shouldn't have done that because you done messed up because it's on now. Because I'm just telling you, that's what Jesus told us to do. This demon-possessed man is an example of us. Even though we're not demon-possessed, we have been freed from bondage. We used to sing the song, Pastor Bill, you remember, he set me free. He broke the bonds of sin. He broke the bounds of sin for me. I don't sing, so that's why. But we used to sing that song. He set me free. He set me free. He broke bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. I'm thankful he set me free. Just like this man. This man was demon possessed. He was set free. He wanted to be with Jesus. Jesus, when he set us free, when we said we bent our knee and we got down on our knee and we said, thank you, Lord. I believe what you've done for me. I thank you. I want you to forgive me. And I remember saying to myself, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And he took me up on it. And he's pushed me and shoved me out into things that I didn't think I could do, but we're there. And, you know, that's a good place to be when you get out in the deep water and you really can't swim and you know it's the only person you can turn to is him. He's the only person that can throw you the lifeline. He's the only person you can tether to get out to where you're going. That's what Jesus did for me, and that's why I'm grateful. And that's why I'm grateful that he's done it for you. He's brought us all to this point. He's set us free, just like he did. If we never had anything to be grateful for, if you never had anything, you could be grateful that he set you free. Because in that, you have eternal life. And with that, you have everything. There's nothing he can take from us. But let me show you. Let me bring it home some more. So what he did is he, when he set that guy free, he told him to go back to the village. He told us to go into the village. And that's what our mandate is to go in and demonstrate what he's done for us to other people. And that doesn't mean just here at church. That means out in the highways, the byways, the neighborhood, down at the Quick Trip. That's everywhere, at the post office. And you know, sometimes that's difficult because people can be very challenging. And you know, we're in a hurry. We got things to do. What I got to do is way more important than what you got to do. I got to get there now. Get out of my way. All these cars need to just get out of my way where I can get there first. You know, and it's hard. It's hard sometimes to put everything in perspective, to be grateful and just to realize, hey, let's take a breath, pump the brake. Let's be grateful, God, that, hey, thank you that we got the time to go do these things. Order my day. Order my steps. Because the steps of the righteous are ordered. But you know, when he told us to do that, it made me think about things that I'm grateful for. And I want to show you some stuff that I'm really grateful for. Now, last year, we were able to take Josh and Sarah with us, or they come with us to Myanmar, and they got to see a lot of what we're doing. I'm proud to report to you that things have changed since they come. So I want to show you, I'm just grateful for a lot of this stuff. And I'm grateful that the Lord has allowed Angie and I to go into the dark places and present the gospel, to show the gospel, to be his light, to be his hands and feet. And you don't have to go to Myanmar. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to go to Myanmar, to Burma, or to a foreign country to do that. You can do that right here in your own backyard, in your own neighborhood. I got neighbors that live around me that I'm working with every day, trying to work that, get that Jesus thing in there, you know? Just want to make sure you know that, hey, this is who we represent. This is why we're here. This is what we do. But I want to show you what I'm grateful for. I want to show you. I'm grateful that he has set us up, or he's setting us up in this place. He's been working with us for a long time to get us in this position. So the first thing I want to tell you is I'm grateful that our campus land is paid for. Yes. Amen. That was last year. I mean, that was December the 17th. We made the final payment on that land, and that has been a huge thing. I'm blown away. If you talk about being grateful, I'm grateful for everybody who gave every dollar to that thing. Because I'm telling you, when I looked the landowner in the eye and I told him, sir, if you give me a year, we'll have that money. Man, you talk about going out there on faith. I was, because they don't do lease purchase. They don't do stuff like that. They want their money now, everything, right now. And we didn't have it. But he gave me a year, and so thankful to so many, this church and so many others that have helped us buy this land. But this land, I am grateful because it sets us up. You know, everything that we're doing, everything I'm fixing to show you, helps us advance the kingdom. It helps us, we're going to make him famous, Jesus famous in this area. And I'm talking about a region where studies can say 90% of the people are Buddhists, so 10% of the people are other stuff. Or you can say 8.5% of the people are Buddhist and, you know, 15% are other stuff. Somewhere in that neighborhood. But bottom line is about 8 out of every 10 people you meet, they're not Christians. And probably less than that, or more than that, probably haven't even heard the true story of Jesus. They might have heard the name, but they don't know the story. So it's every opportunity we get. So we're thankful for this campus land. We're also grateful that our rice field, Jehovah Jireh, is paid for. That's not Jehovah Jireh. That's the next one. Froze up on us. There it is. So Jehovah Jireh. So this is 7 acres. It's exactly 12 miles from where our campus land is. But that rice field is paid for. And last year we produced a harvest on that thing of 14 tons of rice, our first harvest. And I'll tell you what's cool about that. We even had our own custom rice bags made. So when we take this rice that we give like this and we donate it to these people. Next. When we take this rice and we take it into places like this to donate it, they see that. And on this bag, which means not much to us, but it says Jehovah Jireh Farms, which is our farm. And it's Triumphant Solutions Limited. That's who we incorporated is in Myanmar. But this in the middle is John 3:16 in Burmese. So it's a giant track because they don't throw these away. They keep them. So that every time they go in there and they open a bag of rice, they know that Jesus gave that to them. Not us, but him. So everything we're doing is trying to advance that kingdom to further his cause. And that's what we're doing with that rice. And it's huge. And so the only thing that's better than this is to grow more rice. So because it does. One of the reasons when you look back on our table, you'll see those shirts, t-shirts that say more than rice. That's what it is. Because the rice not only feeds our orphanage, but we use it for evangelistic efforts like this too. This is another orphanage, but we donate it to the orphans. So it opens up a means, an avenue for us to be able to present the gospel to these different places and people, and gives a chance to preach. So that's why the shirt says more than rice. That's why it's a good witness tool for you. So when you see that, people, what's that mean? And then you got a whole opportunity right there to, hey, these guys are doing this, and that's telling about Jesus through rice. All right, the next, I got to show you this. All right, this is Angie's house, our orphanage. It's 2,400 square foot. I only got this one picture up for you, but it's concrete, steel, and it's going to be finished. It's going to be finished by Christmas. We're going to move our kids out of their rented facility where they have to sleep on the floor on mats into this house with bunk beds and mattresses and all of that good stuff, Angie's house. Well, these kids, they don't have a clue that this is being built right now. They don't have a clue it's there. Actually, that's about 3 weeks ago. They don't have a clue the building's there. The director doesn't know. He said, how's that? Well, it's far enough away, and we've kind of kept it hush while we've been building because we're going to take them out there on Christmas Day, and this is your new house. For the first time, our director will have her own home in our entire life. For the first time, she's not going to have to make a monthly payment to anybody. For the first time, she will not have to share a bed with another kid. She can have her own room for the very first time. For the first time, these kids will have their own yard to play in. We can actually give them balls this time because they have some place to kick them. All of that is paid for 100%. It's all come in. And for that, I am extremely grateful. If you just knew, if you just back up and think about what we're doing here and how we're doing this, and to have these things paid for, it's phenomenal. God he's off the chain good. Yes. To us, to them. He loves these kids, you know? Now, I want to show you the other thing. If you're going to have an orphanage house, you got to have toilets and a shower facility, too. And just to let you know, that's an artist rendition, but that's like a $12,000 project for just to do this. So this is the shower side, and then the toilet side is on the other side. There's seven stalls, and they've never seen an orphanage with seven stalls in it before. It's big. We need it big because it's going to serve a lot of other things on the land. $12,000, it's almost completed, and it's all paid for. Every bit of it is paid for. God is moving in Myanmar. He's been doing some cool things for us, and all to bless people. Because with these things, it's not just an orphanage. It's more than that. It's an example to other people. It's going to be, we got people coming from all over that country come out there to look at this stuff. In the village area, and Josh and Sarah can verify this, in the village area, there's not anything really around us but rice farms. And so what they're doing now is the people around that area, we're developing this land with these things. And with this land, as we develop it, the people around us are selling their land, and they're chopping it up into little six to eight lots on an acre and turning it into houses. So we're right in the middle of a housing development happening while we're building all these things, which is going to catapult us into like a dream center or something, because we're not through. We're not even close to being through with what we're doing. So I want to show you where we're going. Next one. When we were there, Josh was with me. Josh and Sarah was with us. And we went out and I mentioned to two or three churches about, hey, we want to start a mission school, a missions training, a school of evangelism, not a Bible college, not anything like that. We want to start a school of evangelism, doing some of the stuff that teaching them the stuff that we've been doing that we know works, that works well in this area, in this region. So we want to do that. So I had my director, Leon. I said, hey, Leon, we talked to all those churches. Go back and ask all the people that would like to be interested in coming to a school like that for 1 year, who all would show up. And that's what showed up. So that's our school. We call it School of the Harvesters. It's our missions training school. And they're going to only be trained in evangelism. We really would rather them not have been to Bible college, or if they have been to Bible college, we're not going to teach that. We're going to teach them how to evangelize and how to go out and present the gospel. For those of you who don't know, where Myanmar is at, we're right between India and China. That's 3 billion people. We have access. These people have access to go across those borders and go into those places. Not only there, but Laos and Thailand, Cambodia. I mean, how do you do the end time harvest if you don't start something like this? You know, we talk about that all the time. You hear that. How do you do it if you don't train people to do it? We know what we've done, what we've seen the results with, and we want to teach. We know if we keep going at the pace we go, we're going to die because you can't keep going like that. So we're going to start bringing in nationals and training them to do that. But you can't just do that if you don't have a place to do that. So the next place is our next building that we're working on. Now that is a three-story, 7,500 square foot building, and that is going to be built for the price of $24 a square foot. Can you not believe that? $24 a square foot. Now here's what's cool. We got 800 square foot of it already paid for. So, that's awesome. So pretty much we've got enough money to start the foundation for that building. We call this building, we call the Legacy Center, where shepherds become kings and handmaidens become queens. Because in this building, as you've heard me teach, and we've got a few things back there, but our sewing school will be on the first floor. We're going to also add to that a carpentry school for boys. On the second floor will be the School of the Harvesters and a computer lab. On the top floor, we'll have additional housing for transient students. And we'll also have a break area, and we'll also use it for teaching. Because, you know, something else I'm grateful for, there's a guy named Willis Carrier. He invented the air conditioner. So we don't have those there. So we have to come up with something where we can draw the breeze. So thank God we got that here, but we don't have it there. So, but anyhow, that is where we're going, guys. This is next year. This is our project. We'll start in December, breaking ground for the foundation, which is one of the longest processes, and we'll just keep going as the money comes in. $24 buys one square foot. So we're thankful. We are grateful for all of this stuff. It's such a pleasure for us to be able to use these things to advance the kingdom. Now, I've been coming here for a lot of years, and I am grateful for the relationship I have with you. I'd like to continue that, and one of the reasons I'm going to say this is because we have sign-up sheets back there for people to receive in the mail, the regular mail, our newsletter. We're really good, really consistent with getting those out. You get three or four of those a year, and you get a Christmas card. Can't send you one if you're not on our mailing list. We'd like to have you on the mailing list. Keep up with us where you know what we're doing. That'd be awesome. And what am I missing? Okay. So social media, we kind of do that pretty good sometimes. We're going to be heavy on that when we go over to Burma this next time. We'll be a lot of things are happening on this trip that I've never been a part of before, because all these things, that move in that orphanage and breaking the ground for this and all these things, it's all happening on this trip. So we're very grateful for all that. We are grateful for the relationship we have here with this church. We're grateful for your pastors who've stood with us when good times and when the things weren't as good. And we are very thankful for that, because everybody cycles through up times and down times. And we're so thankful for you for coming here today and listening to us and letting us share these things with us. I just think that this is an ideal time for us all to be grateful, have gratitude. And we are so grateful for so many things. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. That was amazing. It's always really good to hear. You know, it's hard to keep up, right? Even social media and all that stuff. And it only gives you kind of this tiny glimpse of what God's really doing. And so what encourages me is to think about, you know, this is just one example of one thing that God's doing in one part of the world. And yet we know that he has a heart for all people, right? That he loves all people. And that everywhere there are folks that are serving him in this way, doing things basically that we can't, right? And maybe today you can. Maybe you're in this moment, you're like, God's calling me to the mission field. That might be the case today. I don't know. But for most of us, we can't do that. We don't have the ability, the life situation, whatever you want to call it. And so I'm really grateful for you guys. And I'm really grateful that you go places where we can. And so we're proud to be a part of that. So to wrap up our service today, what I really like to do is I would just like to pray over these guys and bless them. And so if you guys would come and just kind of stand here, and I'm going to invite everybody, anybody that wants to, let's come up here and we're going to put our hands on these guys and bless them for what the work ahead, because obviously there's some, but also just that God would sustain them. I know that ministry's hard. It's hard on life to work jobs and do ministry at the same time. The enemy would like nothing more than to disrupt that. And so we want to pray over these guys and just thank God for them and bless them. So if you guys would either, if you're sitting, if you just want to reach your hand this way, if you're here, you want to put your hand on them or on one of us that's close to them, that'd be good. God, thank you so much for Rick and for Angie and just for their heart for your people, God, the people that have yet to say yes to you, but also the people that have said yes to you, God. And I'm so blessed and just thankful for the way that they show your love to people in a practical way, that it's not just blowing into town and sharing a message and then leaving, God, but that they're planting roots and that they're putting together a place for people to be discipled and for people to grow in knowledge of you, not just for the next few years, God, but for as long as we're here. And God, it's just the example that Jesus gave us, raising others up so that they can do the same. And so, God, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you provide for their personal needs, for just everything that they need within their home and their family, that you'd guide and protect them there, God, that you'd strengthen their marriage, that you'd help them to grow closer together in ministry. God, I pray for all these projects that are either ongoing or just beginning, that you would provide, as you already have been faithful to do, every cent that they need. Just give them everything they need, God, and that it would be blessed. I pray that you would send them leaders, that you would send them more and more and more men and women who want to come to the school of ministry and evangelism, God, and that you would use these folks to just change that region like never before, God. That the next time that they come back, we would even be more blown away by what you're doing in that region, God. We all have so much to be thankful for, God, and top of the list is folks like Rick and Angie who will go places like this. So bless them and keep them, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.